Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Sanhedrin Daf Nun Chet Amud Bet, and as promised, in the middle of the sugya of Sheva Mitzvah Pnei Noach, and about to take a look at the several miscellaneous pieces which will ultimately take us to the end of this sugya. There's a little editorial note: Magbia Avdo Shabbat. And this is not particularly or uniquely in the area of Mitzvot Pnei Noach, but if somebody threatens another with violence, in other words, literally lifts his hand against him, then he is Chayav Mita. And the proof text is, and this is why it's here, is picking up on the story of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe says to one Ivri, who's about to hit the other, Rasha, why are you, or the Torah calls him Rasha, why are you about to hit your friend? Lama hikita lo nemar ela lama takeh. It doesn't say, why did you hit? Why will you hit? Al pi shelo ikav nikra Rasha. Okay, Zeriyam Arvachanina nikra chote. It's worse, he's called a chote. Not just a sitting type person, but this is a sin. Shinemar v'mlo lakachti b'chozka. This is talking about B'nei Eli, the children of Eli HaKohen, who are described in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Bet, as doing vile things in the context of their abuse of their position as Kohanim in Shiloh. Listen to our podcast on the OU's Nachyomi series for more details there in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Bet. And in it, it says they would come up to people and say, give us the meat, and if not, we'll take it by force. And it says that their sin was very great in God's eyes. So it's a chatat. Rav Huna mar tikatzetz yado. His hand should be cut off. Shenemar uzroa rama tishaver. The arm of the mighty one should be broken. Rav Huna katz yado. Rav Huna actually did that. He cut off the hand of a man who was regularly using violence, threatening violence to get what he wanted. Rabbi Elazar omer, ein lo takana ala kvura. The best thing for this guy is to be buried. Shenemar. The ish zeroa lo ha'aretz. He's picking up on the word zeroa. A strong arm guy has the land. The idea is he has the earth underneath. The honorable Azarloni na karka la balei zerot. Land is always given to strong arm people. Shemar v'izroa lo ha'aretz. Same pasuk. Famous like ish ma'idichtiv eved admat oved admato yispalachem. One who works his land will oved admato yispalachem. One who works his land will be satisfied with bread. So that's fairly simple. The idea is if he makes himself like a slave to the land, then he'll be satisfied. If not, then he won't. You have to really dedicate yourself to your land. Okay, if a non-Jew, Shavat means he doesn't work. Now that pasuk is talking after the Mabul, where God promises that all the seasons will remain. It says day and night they won't stop. So the prohibition, which is read near as a prohibition, is also the consequence of Mita. Ravina says even on a Monday, meaning it's not a question of making Shabbos, taking a day where you just don't do any malacha. So why isn't that listed among the seven mitzvot? Because the seven mitzvot are only those things which all you have to do is just not do them. Kumase lo kachoshiv. But to do a kumase, that we didn't count. Excuse me. And here, what it is that the goy is not allowed to do is to get up and do malacha. Ava dinim kumasehu. But dinim is also kumase, but kachoshiv. So the answer is kumase v'shev al tasa dinu. Dinim is both, because dinim also includes setting up a court and maintaining the law, but it also includes sitting back and not doing wrong things. This is a little bit Jewish, you'll see why. It says, if a non-Jew is engaged in the study of Torah, he's chayav mita, shenemar, Torah tzivalanu Moshe morasha. There's a alternate drush on this. One is morasha, it's our inheritance. Lanu Moshe v'lalahem, they're stealing our inheritance. The other one is, al tikrei morasha, ela ma'orasa, we're betrothed to the Torah, and therefore it's like violating that relationship. So why don't we list that among the seven mitzvot? The answer is that it's already subsumed either under theft or under adultery. Okay. How do we know, Meir Meir says, that even a non-Jew who's involved in Torah is as great as a Kohen Gadol? The Torah says, any person who does these, he'll live by them. Kohen Levi Yisrael Lomar El Adam, just as Adam, not Kohen Levi Yisrael. So you see, it's a great praiseworthy thing for a non-Jew to study Torah, not a bad thing. The answer is Hatam Shev Mitzvot Didhu. So the defense is that Rav Meir is referring to them studying the seven mitzvot that apply to them, which, by the way, according to many, like the Ramban, dinim isn't just a generic thing of setting up dinim. It means setting up all of Chesh and Mishpat, which means there's quite a lot of Torah that a non-Jew could legitimately study under that particular rubric, which should all be included in Shev Mitzvot. All right, so back to the original Brayta that we have been dealing with for several daf, about Shev Mitzvot Bnei Noach, he added Dam Minachai. Tan Rabbanan. Ach Basar B'Nafsho Dam Alo Tochelu. The main pasuk, the seminal pasuk about Ev Minachai is after the flood. Ach Basar B'Nafsho Dam Alo Tochelu. Ze Ev Minachai. Okay? Rechim Gamliel Omer, Af Adam Minachai. He includes that. Meaning blood from, but you didn't shecht an animal, the animal's alive and it's bleeding and drinking its blood. Where do you get that from? Basar b'nafsholo tochel, damo b'nafsholo tochel. Look at the pasuk. Ach basar b'nafsho damo. So basar lo tochel, damo lo tochel. Rabbanan and b'nafsho means while he's alive. Hahula mishe shratzim hudat. Rabbanan said, no, the pasuk is written that way to allow you to eat shratzim. While the Ev Minachai from shratzim. Why? And we'll see why. Kayotze b'davar ta'omer. You see the same thing in Parshat Re'eh. Okay, so we learn that that's Eivim Minachai, and Rechonim Gamliel adds, Ki Adam HaNefesh is Dam Minachai. Rabbanan says, Ahu L'Dam HaKaz HaShem Shamat Yosef Oshu Uda'ata. No, Adam HaNefesh is there to tell you which Dam are you Chayiv for? Only Dam HaNefesh. Dam that when it bleeds, his life is bleeding out with it. Alright. Lama L'Mikhtav L'Neoch Lama L'Mishnah B'Sinai. So now, why do we have to have this command about Ev Minachai before Matan Torah and again after Matan Torah? And this is going to open up a very big door for us. Any mitzvah given to Bnei Noach and repeated at Har Sinai, meaning after Matan Torah, for both non-Jews and Jews. Bnei Noach v'lonishtei b'Sinai, if it was only given before, not afterwards, the Yisrael nemra v'lo Bnei Noach. Counterintuitively, it's only for us. And the only one we could find like that is Gid Hanasha, according to Rabbi Yehuda. This is in Mechloket, Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, in Perak Gid Hanasha, in the seventh Perak of Chulin, where Chachamim say that Gid Hanasha only applies to animals that you're otherwise allowed to eat, the Tahora. And Chachamim say, no, it applies to both Tahora and Tamea, because after all, Gid Hanasha was given in Breishit when there were no such distinctions. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Gid Hanasha was given at Har Sinai. And it was only written in Breishit so that we would understand, Rabbanan say it was given at Har Sinai, and therefore it only applies to Tahora. And Rabbi Yehuda says it really happened in Breishit, and therefore at that point there was no distinction. It applies to Tahora and Tamea. The Rabbanan say, you know why we know how we know, because the Torah says, Alken Lechlu V'nei Yisrael. We're not called V'nei Yisrael until we get to Har Sinai, or until we get to Mitzrayim. And therefore, it was said later, but it was written earlier, so we'd understand why. Take a look at very interesting Rashi on Daf Kufala from an Aleph there in Chulin, which we'll get to in a while. In any case, let's go revisit Rabbi Yosef Hanina's formula, because it is very intriguing. Amar Mar. Kol mitzvah shenemra levin enoach nivshtei b'sinai, l'zeh u'l'zeh nemra. So any mitzvah that's repeated is said to both. Adarabah, min shevet sinai, Yisrael nemra v'lo levin enoach. The opposite reasoning. If it's repeated after Har Sinai, it seems to make it only exclusively Jewish. So the answer is, Midini Avodah Zarah b'Sinai, but we have a counter example, which is Avodah Zarah was repeated several times. V'ashkachan donash nachrisha ilavei, and we see the non-Jews are prohibited and are punished for Avodah Zarah. That's why the non-Jews are thrown out of the land. So therefore, by inductively, that anything that's said before and afterwards is to both. Now,
Then we have this formula that anything that was said before but not afterwards is only for us. Adraba, Menolay Shabbat Sina, Bnei Noach, Amar V'lo Yisrael. If it's not repeated afterwards, maybe it's only for Bnei Noach and not for Yisrael. So the answer is, Leikim Yidam, the Yisrael Shar, the Noach V'yosa. There's no such thing that they're not allowed to do and we're allowed to do. So it can't be only for them. So, V'hari Yifat Torah. What about Yifat Torah? Yifat Torah, the Torah permits us and doesn't permit them. So you see, there are things that Jews are permitted, non-Jews are not permitted. The answer is Hatam Shem Lav Nevi Kibush Ninu. It's not because they're not allowed to do Yifat Torah, but they don't have a din of kibush that when they're conquering, they're called Kovshim, that they then are in the category of Yifat Torah, of people who could take Yifat Torah. So there's nothing that loosens the bonds of marriage between that woman and her husband that this marauder could take. Right, Pacha Mishavar Pruta. What about Pacha Mishavar Pruta, where a goy steals his chayiv? The answer is Hatam Shem Lav Nevi Mechila Ninu. Again, it's the same problem. It's a technical problem with a halachic matrix that doesn't apply to non-Jews, which is Mechila. Now, Kol Mitzvah Nemar L'Vnei Noach Nishem B'Sin El Ezel Zen Emra, let's revisit that any mitzvah that was repeated is to both. Is that really true? For a Mila Shenemar L'Vnei Noach, or a Brit Mila was said beforehand, Tichti V'Ata Priti Tishmor Ta Avraham, V'Nishem B'Sin El, very much B'Ni Yimol, right, in Parshat Azriya. Mila is repeated. Yisrael Nemar V'Lo L'Vnei Noach. The answer is, Holy Mishra Shabbos Hudat, the answer is Vayom Hashmini Bo Masar Lato is there to allow you to do Brit Milah on Shabbat. We saw this in the 9th parak of Shabbat. Bayom Bafilu B'Shabbat. Varei Piriyah V'Rivya Shenemra L'Vnei Noach. After all, Pur Avu was said at the beginning of creation. Dichtiv, here we have it, B'Nei Noach V'Atem Pur Avu. V'Nishnei P'Sinai. And it was repeated after our Sinai. L'Aleichem Or Lehem Shuvu L'Chem Lo Aleichem. And when Moshe is repeating what happened in our Sinai, Hashem said to Moshe, go tell Bnei Israel, return to your tents. You stay with me, they return to your tents, and you resume relations. The Israel, the Mavlam, the Noach. And that Puravu does not apply to Bnei Noach. So another counterexample. The answer is, that is coming to teach another principle, which is that when a Beit Din prohibits something, you need a Beit Din of equal or greater stature to permit it. Where do we see that? Because Hashem told Bnei Israel to become celibate at Har Sinai, and then he's the only Hashem is the one who could then say, now it's time to resume relations. So it has a different reason for being repeated, not to repeat the prohibition or the mitzvah, but rather for a unique clause. Now, Yachi Kochad V'Chad Anami Neimim Hashem Milta Aitni. So maybe we could say that Gezel and Arayot and everything else has some unique twist, and that's why it was repeated. Which means it would then again be nothing for Bnei Noach, and Bnei Noach would have no mitzvot. So Hachi Kamar, this is what the formula is. Azharami Adar Mitnan Balam Ali. There's no reason for the Torah to repeat a warning, meaning a prohibition. That must be to say it's for both Bnei Noach and Israel. Now, Ve'in Lanu Elikin Nashavavad, we said that in the context of things that were only said before Matan Torah and not afterwards, the only example is Gidon Asher. V'alib Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who said Gidon Asher really was said in Bereishit. But these other ones, according to you, are also not repeated because there was some special reason. So why don't we say so the same thing about, let's say, Puravu, we just said. The answer is Hani Itni the Shum Milta Ba'alma. Puravu, Mila were taught for a particular reason. They're mentioned, they're just mentioned for a reason. Hani Alo Itni Klal, but Gidon Asher is not mentioned once again, not even breathed about. After Parshat Vayishlach. Okay, Ibaitema, by the way, back to Brit Mila, we have another solution. Mila mi karl Avram huda kam mitzar la rachmana. Hashem never gave Brit Mila to Bnei Noach, he gave it to Avram. Ve'ata epriti tishmor, ta v'zaracha acharecha ledorotam, you and your seed. Ata v'zaracha, ina shrini nechrini, lo. Only you and your seed, not anybody else. Ha'me'ata Bnei Yishmael lechayivu, so if that's the case, then Bnei Yishmael should be chayiv, they're the seed of Avram. The answer is Kivi Yitzchak Yikarei LaChazara. When Hashem tells Avram not to feel bad that he's sending Yishmael away, that Sarah's right, he says Kivi Yitzchak Yikarei LaChazara. Your Zerah is a reference to Yitzchak only. So if that's the case, Bnei Esav LaChayvu, Bnei Esav was from Yitzchak. The answer is Be Yitzchak V'lo Kol Yitzchak. Only some of Yitzchak. That's the drasha. Maga Roshayel Miata Bnei Ketura Lo LiChayvu. So if that's the case, that Bnei Ketura should not be chayiv because they're not the zera. So Ham Rabbi Yosef Avin Vitem Rabbi Yosef Chanina Epriti Efar the Rabot Bnei Ketura. Evidently there was some Masora the Bnei Ketura, whoever they are chayiv and mila. We have a special Yitur Epriti Efar to tell us that. Okay, now to the gastronomic habits or evolution of eating of Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon was not allowed to eat meat. The grass is given to you and to the animals. But not the animals to you. After the Mabul, God allowed them to eat meat. Shenemar, Kierak Esav Natat Lechem Et Kol. I've given you everything just like the grass. Yachol or Yevim Inachai No Egbo. I might think that Yevim Inachai doesn't apply to the animals. Tamalomar, Achpasav Nafsho Tamalot Tochelu. But Hashem still said you can't do that. Yachol after Shratzim. I might think that these even applies to Shratzim that you can't take Yevim Inachai. Tamalomar, Ach. There's a mute. My Talmud, how did you figure out that Shratzim are excluded? Ravuna Damom, it says, Basar Damo V'nafsho. Damo means, Misha Damo Chaluk Mibisaro, only animals where the blood and the flesh are separate. Yatsu Shratzim, Shen Damam Chaluk Mibisaro, as opposed to Shratzim where the blood and the flesh are all commingled. There, even a chai doesn't apply. Meitave, here's a challenge to the whole idea of Adam being a vegetarian. Or Duvid Gatayam. God said, Puravu, control the earth, and rule over the fish and the fowl and the animals. My love, Lachila, doesn't ruling over the fish mean eating them? Lo, Limlacha, to make them work. Dagim b'nei melacha, do you know what? Fish can work for you? In, yes, could Rachva. Rachva asked the following question, and we had it in Bava Kamma. In hig b'izav shivut amai, what happens if you take a goat on land, and you tie him to a fish on the river, and they go together and they plow? Is that considered kilaim for kilei behema? Right? So you see that such a thing is theoretically possible. Toshma uva ofer shamayim is supposed to rule over the fowl. My love lachila doesn't mean to eat them. Lo limlacha, to for work. Ofer b'nei melacha, can fowl work? Inkel bar rabba ravuna. He asked the question. Dash bavazin v'tarnigolin, if you thresh with geese or with roosters, here's Rabbi Yehuda, my. According to Rabbi Yossi, excuse me, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, question is, are they allowed to eat? Can you put a muzzle on them, etc.? Okay, right, so the question about chasima, about the law of chasima, but the point is that it's asked because you could use fowl to work for you. Now, Toshma, uvachochayar mesatal aretz. You rule over the animals that crawl. Out animals crawl. That includes the snake, the primordial serpent. Taner b'shim of nasi omer chaval al shamash gadol shavam nirlam. Too bad we lost this good shamas. Shemalenit kalal nachash. If the snake hadn't been cursed, kol echad v'chad miYisrael ayu mizdamnin lo shnei nachashim tovim. Everybody in Israel would have gotten two very good serpents to work for him. And what would they do? He would send one north, one south. To find all sorts of precious jewels. They drop a strap underneath their tail. Let's see, ba'afar leginato lechorvato. And they dump a lot of fertilizer, shall we say, that's good for his garden. Chaval, it's gone. So that's how we would have used that animal. We have a picture of Adam Rishon reclining in Gan Eden at a feast. And the malachim were frying food for him, frying meat, and straining wine for him. And the snake saw it, and he was jealous, and that's where all that started. So you said he was a vegetarian. The answer is, Hatam Basar Yerim Nesharayim. That was Basar that came from heaven. Mika Basar Yerim Nesharayim. Since when is there such a thing? In Kiyadu Rabbi Shimon Chalafta is a story. He was walking on the road. Pagu Bahanach Aryata. He got attacked by lions. Havakunami Lape. They were roaring right in front of him. Amar Hakfirim and Shoagim Lataref. He quoted the Pasuk in Tehillim. The lions roar for their food. Nachitu le'tarte atamta. So two big pieces of meat came down from heaven. Chara achlua v'chara shavkua. They ate one, they left one. Ite va'ata leve midrash. He came and he brought it to the Beit Midrash. Boil on the asked, Davar Tamei Huzeh, Davar Tahor. Is this piece of meat Tamei or Tahor? Meaning, could we eat it? Amrle, in Davar Tamei Yodim Nashamayim. The answer was, if it comes from Nashamayim, it's Tahor. So they went with this a little further. Yardalo Dmut Chamor Mahu. What if the thing that comes down looks like a Chamor? Amrle, Yarod Nala. Amrle, in Davar Tamei Yodim Nashamayim. We already had the ruling that nothing that comes from Nashamayim can be Tamei. Right, Yarid Nala, by the way, making fun of him. It's not like a foolish fish. Now, why are you asking this question? Okay, Rav Shimon Omer, Alfa Lakishuf. Now we go back to the Braita. Rav Shimon added that Bnei Noach are forbidden from Kishuf, from wizardry. Maitam Rav Shimon, where do you get that from? Diktiv. There's a famous machok, Rav Shimon Biura, about juxtaposition outside of Sefer Dvarim, but he reads the juxtaposition as significant, and therefore, anyone who is bound by the limits of bestiality is also bound by the limits of a wizardry, not being able to do that. Blazomer afala kilaim, he added kilaim. Mananim, you'll already get that from Amashua, Damakra, at chukotai tishmoru, keep my laws, but chok means a law of nature. Chukim shechakakti lachakvar, meaning the laws that I've already engraved, which are pemtachalo tabi kilaim, sarchalo tsua kilaim. Look at the pasuk on the page. That's the next two things. Ma bemtachar barba, what's the prohibition of animals is crossbreeding. Afsarcha barkava, so your field also, the problem is cross planting, grafting. And ma bemtachar ben maratven mechutzlaretz, afsarcha ben maratven mechutzlaretz. And just like behemoth applies in Israel or outside, similarly, the prohibition of the field here applies even outside of Israel. It's a sugya at the end of the first parak of Kiddushin. Elamiyata ushvartem chukotai v'mishpatai. So when the Torah says, you shall keep all my laws, and if you're going to say chukotai means laws that are ancient laws that go back to before Matan Torah, which are al-hakfar, the answer is, hatam ushvartem et chukotai. You shall keep my laws. Tahashtam, meaning the ones I'm giving you now. Hacha et chukotai Tishmaru, their laws come first, then Tishmaru. Chukim to me karet Tishmaru. Those are laws that I already gave you, you must keep. Alright, back to the Mishnah. Rishuman Korcha told us about how we listened to testimony about Megadev. Rachab Yaakov, Eino Chayvet Shverach Shem Ben Arba Otiot. Rachab Yaakov says you're only Chayv when you, for cursing, if you use the four letter name of God. Lafuki ben shtei otiot alav. If you use a two-letter name of God like Yod and a Hey, you're not chayev. It's a pshita yakei yosit yositan. That should be obvious because the code word that they gave, the substitution word, was Yosi, a four-letter word. Ma'udatem milta ba'almudinaka. Yeah, maybe they're just giving an example. Kamash falan, that four was really deliberate. Ikadamri, Rachab Yaakov, he actually read it the opposite way. Shvamin Hashem ben arba otiot namishemu. That teaches you that God's name of Yod and a Hey and of Vav and a Hey is a real shame. Pshita, Yakeos, and Yositan. That's obvious. There's a four-letter name as a substitute. Arthema Adik Hashem Rabba. Maybe you need the long name. Rashi says a 42-letter name. Other says a 72-letter name, some mystical name that we don't know. Umiltaba Almudanaka. And again, Yossi was just an example. Kamash Falan, that Yossi is a deliberate example of four letters. Okay, Nigmar Hadin. We said that once they do Gmar Din, they have to hear the shame, and the Dayonim stand up in Terkriya. Omdin Menalan, why do they stand up? When Ehud came into Eglon and said, I have the word of God, he stood up. And that's how Ehud was able to stick that dagger, that double-edged dagger on his right thigh, into Eglon's big stomach. He's a non-Jew, and all he heard was a kinu Elohim. Amadi still stood up, which is by why the Ramah says, and this is the minhag of Ashkenazim, to always stand up for Yesh Me Rabbam, Yisrael, v'shem am forash, if you have a Yisrael, and you hear the name, halacha gam v'cham, how much more you have to stand up? Korin Menalan, why did they tear Kriya? Dichtiv, evoi, v'yakim el chilkiyahu, etc. v'shem nasovar, yachbi nasaf, v'zkir el chizkiyahu, korim gadim, v'yagiru lo tivei rav shakeh. This is part of a story that we heard already in the second parak. But if you recall, in that huge scene with Chizkiyahu that happened in 701 BCE, when Sanherib surrounded the city, Rav Shakeh came out and cursed God, And the people who came to report to Chizkiyahu what happened came with torn clothes. They torn their clothes because they heard God's name. So we'll have to see why Rav Shakei invoking God's name is a problem. Lo ma'achin, we said they can never fix mend that kriya. Menalan, Ravahu atir kriya kriya. We have the word kriya in two places. Tivach akorev gadim, in the case we just saw for Chizkiyahu, it says they had torn clothes. Tivhatam velisharo ev, humatzaik avyavi rechav yisrael for ashav. Then when Elisha saw Eliyahu go up to heaven, he took his garments and he tore them into two kraim. The minute it says he tore them to two, I know they're torn. Why did it say kraim? Means they're always torn. They're never mended. Whether you hear God's name or you hear from somebody else, and when somebody says, I heard that God's name was said, ter kriya. The Edim don't have to do it. Shekvar karu b'sha'a sheshamu. Sorry, shomayim pishomayim means you hear from the aid. But you heard Hashem's name. Now, the Edim don't have to tear. Shekvar karu b'sha'a sheshamu. They already heard it once. They already tore kriya, meaning when they heard the name once. Karu b'sha'a sheshamu mayav. Who cares if they tore kriya then? Hakasham yashta. They're hearing it now, either from himself or the other aid. So, lo sakadai tichtichti v'ayikishua melech Chizkiyahu. Ha'ikrat b'gadav. When Chizkiyahu heard this report, he tore his clothes. Now, the other people didn't tear because they'd already torn. So he tore his clothes because he heard what they reported. They didn't have to tear it again. If you hear Shem Hashem from a non-Jew, there's no kriya. So why did Rav Shakei's invoking God's name generate kriya? So there's a misora that Rav Shakei was an apostate Jew. Shmuel also said, you only tear kriya for Shem Hashem, Yud Kei and Vav Kei. Afuke Kinui, supposed to Elohim, the low. Upligin of Chia B'Tavai, where B'Chia disagreed on both points. The Rechia, Hashomei HaZkaran Zman HaZeh, if you hear God's name today, Enochai V'Kriya, you don't have to tear kriya. Why? Shem Iyata Omer Kein, Malei Kol HaBeged HaKrayim, because otherwise your garments are all going to be ripped up. Miman, who are you hearing from that's so frequent that your clothes will be all ripped up? Elam of Yisrael, if you think it's from Yisrael, Yisrael is so loose with their tongues, they're all saying Hashem's name. Pshitmenocha must be non-Jews. Yishem Yuchad, Migmir, they don't know Shem Yuchad. Lavikino must be Kinui. Shaminab is Manazehu de lo. So that means that today we have to make allowances. Hamikar Chayim, Shmaminas, or Bchia obviously holds that essentially you should dare Kriya, even if you're from a non-Jew, and even if you hear a name that's a Kinui. Okay, the end of the Mishnah said that the second guy says, me too. What do you infer from that? That for an aid to say, I heard the same thing or I saw the same thing, is essentially kosher. The Rabbanan simply enhanced Eidut by saying every witness has to give full testimony and not just say, yeah, me too. Here, since we don't want to do it because we don't want to repeat Hashem's name, the Rabbanan maintain the Doraita level of Eidut. Because if you think that it's not good Eidut, how can we kill the guy just because we don't want this guy to say Shem Hashem? We can't kill the guy for that. So by the end of the Mishnah said the third aid says me too. So our Mishnah, the Stam of our Mishnah follows Rabbi Akiva's opinion that we see in the first parak of Makot that compares the third witness to the two. Meaning, let's say you have 10 witnesses and one of them turns out to be puzzle, the whole group is puzzle. All right? So therefore, we have to ask each witness, and every witness has to testify, and if we're machish or puzzle one of them, that'll be the whole edut out, and that's why the third one also has to answer that way. Okay, we'll pick it up in Yirtzeh Hashem at the next Mishnah, which will start describing the parameters of Avodah Zarah, which are machayev, and those which are not machayev. I mean, everybody should have a wonderful day.